You know, one of the best discoveries you can make in life is the discovery that you were loved and you didn't even know it. I'm not talking about, you know, the discovery that you make in elementary school when you get that note from a secret admirer that roses are red and violets are blue and, oh, they're so in love with you and, you know. And I'm not referring to the discovery you make as you grow older and you have kids of your own and you realize that mom and dad were actually far more caring and intelligent and actually better than you gave them credit for at times. Those discoveries are great. Those discoveries are great. But there's one that goes far deeper. If we will have it. If we will let it in. You catch a glimpse of it in the scripture verses we're about to read this morning. We're just going to take a small slice out of the story of Lazarus. It's a well-known story about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And to get ourselves ready, I want to encourage you to take a look at the picture again that's on the front of the bulletin. I wish I could black things out because this is such a cool picture. Thanks, Bob. Go ahead and get the lights. I appreciate that. This is a masterpiece from Rembrandt called The Raising of Lazarus. Take a close look. There they are. They're gathered around Lazarus' tomb. Look at, first of all, the focus on Jesus' face. Look at the emotion on his face. And then look down here at Mary Magdalene. Do you see her? Do you see the shock at what's happening? Can you imagine what it would have been like to be there in that moment? Rembrandt captures this so well. You can't see it too much here, but by the way, if you go to the LA Museum of Art, they have this picture online, and you can zero in on it. You can scope in on different parts of it, and look right here. Here's Martha. And Martha is just, you know, blown away by what's happening. But there's more. Take a look at how the picture moves from this light into darkness. And Lazarus is being raised. You see, he's sort of halfway between death and life there, right? And he's being raised out of this darkness. But notice what's up there. You have to take a really close look at that. I'm not sure what Rembrandt meant by that, but it's fascinating. One of the things is a sword. And the other is actually an arrow with quivers. And then above that is this round thing that looks like a ball of yarn. It can be a reference to fate. It can be a reference of death. But look at the way they're positioned. They almost look like wings, right? And I half wonder if Rembrandt is making a reference to the angel of death. Ken and I were talking about this as we were getting the bulletin ready or getting the PowerPoints ready, and he said, you know, it looks like the angel of death has hung up his weapons and gone home, if you will. This is an amazing moment. Now let's go to the story in the Bible in John 11, 32 and 37. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" There's a lot of raw truth here. Truth that applies to those moments in life that you just can't get over. You know those moments when life slows down and it's all you can do just to get through the day. We've been there at times, right? And there are things that are happening where you don't see God's hand and you don't understand what's going on and you're looking for Him, but it's hard to see Him in the moment. And all you can do is hang on. There are lessons here in this passage that are meant for those moments. And there are three observations that I'd like to call your attention to this morning. Three quick takeaways. We're going to look at each one and apply them to life right away. Here's the first. Jesus' love overcomes. Jesus' love overcomes. Take a look at the verse. Verse 36, then the Jews said, see how he loved him. It's evident to everyone there how powerfully Jesus loves. You cannot miss it. And it's interesting that this observation is made by John, right? The one who's sharing this gospel, who refers to himself elsewhere as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Well, John wasn't saying that because that was unique to him. John was just saying that because he's describing the person and character of Jesus. Elsewhere, Mark describes Jesus as meeting a man who has a lot of wealth, and he says simply, Jesus looked at him and loved him. And I love this about Jesus, that the emotion of love is so evident on his face. See how he loved him. And as I thought about this verse as I was preparing the sermon this week, I thought about my own life and I thought, oh Lord, I need that. I need that. I need you to look on me in love. And I thought, can the same thing be said about me? See how he loved him. It's good to go there, isn't it? When you're going through a difficult time, to imagine Jesus looking on you in love. You know, one day we're going to see that look. One day the mess that we're in is going to be done. And to see that look and to know it is meant for you, oh, if we can catch a glimpse of it now, through the Spirit, it changes everything. And I don't mean that as some sort of a bleak thing. That's a biblical thing. Scripture says that we've received the Spirit by which we call out Abba, Father, which means Daddy, right? It's this family relationship, and that implies love. So you and I can look at this and just say, hey, just call me Lazarus. That's probably what I should have called the sermon this morning. Just call me Lazarus. See how he loved him. That describes you and me. Here's a second observation. You can't miss Jesus' compassion. You see it in both verses 33 and 35. Let's read them. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And then verse 35, shortest verse in the Bible. Let's all say it together. Jesus wept. And you didn't think you were good at scripture memory, you know? What we see here is that Jesus is deeply moved. He's moved with compassion for those around him. He's not just standing back there saying, well, I can fix this. This is nothing for me. He enters into the situation. He weeps with them. He's troubled by it. we need to understand that about Jesus as you and I are wrestling through challenging times or walking beside others who are. Scripture reminds us that we are to weep with those who weep and to mourn with those who mourn, right? You and I are to have compassion for people in difficult places because that is so like Jesus. That's the big picture. You know, life is rough. And compassion is absolutely necessary. And if you and I realize that Jesus is still filled with compassion for the brokenness around us, it will help us as well. I love what Ruth Bell Graham said about prodigals. She said, once you love one prodigal, you love all prodigals. And that's really true. Once you've walked that road with someone and you see someone else going through it with their own family, you realize, oh man, I've been there. I know what that's like. And it's so easy when you and I see a homeless person to think, huh, I wonder how he got there. Wonder what choices he made along the way to get there. You ever done that? I know I have. And it's not just a homeless person. We can do that with anyone. What are some of the things that we say? Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, right? Or you made your own bed, now you have to lie in it. I mean, we have all of these interesting things that we sometimes say that lack such compassion. Jesus wept. And it's a mark of his love. And I know that's a work that God's Spirit needs to complete in me as I look at the world around us. I like the story about the little boy who came across a friend who was crying because she had lost her doll. And his mama said, well, did you help her look for it? And he said, no, I sat down and helped her cry. But you know, there's a lot of Jesus in that. And people will see him in you as you show them compassion. And I think likewise, as we encounter difficulties, we can face them not just with the thought of, Lord, why don't you fix this? But, oh Lord, you get this. You get me. You know what's going on right here, right now. And Jesus had his reasons for doing what he did. And let's move on here. Our understanding is complete. Incomplete, that's the third takeaway. You know, the challenge is you and I may believe that Jesus loves us, believe that he is filled with compassion, but look how easily doubt creeps in. Take a look at verse 32 and then at verse 37. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. This is Mary Magdalene, out of whom Jesus had cast seven demons. And now she's ticked. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. You see, Mary knew that Jesus had waited. He could have been there the same day, but he waits 3. Why is he doing this? And then verse 37, but some of them said, could not he who have opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Hey, man, we've been there. Lord, if you're good, why did this happen? If I'm going through, you know, you're going through something and it's like, why is this happening at all? Where is the goodness of God in this? It's one of the greatest obstacles of faith. And naturally, it's difficult because our perspective is limited, right? We tend to measure the goodness of God by the number of things that happen to us, toward or untoward. When what we need to do is pray, Lord, help me to measure my life by your Spirit. Because it's not about me. You know, it's not, I'm not the center of the universe. And that's what our old sin nature does, right? We're just our own little solar systems. I mean, it just happens so easily and so naturally for us. And I don't mean to make light of some genuine tragedies, because those questions can be real. And they can be harsh and hard. And we can't pass over them too quickly. Because Jesus doesn't. He weeps. You know, that's the beautiful thing about him, though. He not only weeps, he also asks why. My God, why have you forsaken me? One of the things Jesus asks from the cross, right? One of his seven last words. But think about that. God himself, God incarnate, God in the flesh, asking why. That's just one of the most beautiful things about Jesus, that you and I can look at that and say, man, he knows what it's like. He's been there in that moment. He gets me in the middle of this. So I'm asking why, but it's okay. It's okay. God is strong enough. I can go to him with that. Jesus told us that in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. So what we see here is someone who, on one hand, is able to overcome everything, but on the other hand also weeps, who also asks why. Fully God, and fully human. That's who he is. And how good it is that we have someone like that that we can go to in the midst of our pain. Please listen carefully, taking heart, because Jesus has overcome the world. Means that we're not defining the world simply by the things that happen to us. There's more. There's more. We can come to him and have peace in him, but our eyes have to be on him and on the circumstances, trusting him, resting in what we already know, that he is loving and that he is compassionate. This morning when I came into the Sunday school class this morning, I was kind of like a wild-eyed wild man about something that was going on in my daughter's life. And, you know, it was just about one of those things, and it had gotten under my skin. And so they had to listen as I ripped the world a new one in terms of, you know, just good grief. And it was amazing how at the end of the Sunday school class, after we had had a chance to focus on God and the things that matter, I was much more peaceful. It's amazing what can happen as we run to Jesus. You know, again, look at his cross. He entered fully into our situation, taking it all on himself so that he could bring us out the other side. That's the beauty of it. Not just someday. Not just, pie in the sky by and by. But even now. Even now, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. So that you and I can take heart. And then there's this verse, I love it, in 2 Thessalonians. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us, and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. I love those two words, eternal encouragement. Eternal encouragement lasts forever. He is that. Regardless of our circumstances, our helper, our friend, Jesus gets you wherever you are right now in life. And Jesus is, my favorite title is the one that the Pharisees gave him and he also used for himself, a friend of sinners. So the question, am I worthy enough to come near? Could I ever be worthy enough to come near? The answer is no, for all of us. Because it's not about us and our worthiness. But what it is about is that Jesus looks on us in love. That's the greatest discovery. The greatest discovery of our lives, if we'll let it in. Man, wouldn't you love to have it said about you? See how he loves him. See how he loves her. Look at the cross. And you see it. Look to him by faith. And you will. May we pray. Lord, thank you that you aren't angry at us. Thank you that you're not expecting us to have to jump through a bunch of rules and get them right before we can come to you. Thank you that we can come to you right now and you'll help us sort the whole mess out from there. And so this morning we run to you. We look at what you did for us on the cross and we thank you. And we look back with love. Lord, we love you for what you've done for us. And this morning, if you are feeling like you're unlovable, as we're sitting here talking about these things, oh, know this. God's word says you are so loved. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Will you trust him this morning to save you? When you and I come to him with our sins and say, "Oh Lord, please have mercy on me. Forgive me. I'm tired of running my life. I need your help. I want you to be my life. I come to you right now, oh Lord. Give me life like you did Lazarus." If you pray that, he will, except it'll be eternal life. Lazarus died later one day. But through faith in Jesus, he lived forever. And you and I can too. Oh, run to him. Don't miss this moment. Life is short and it may be all you have. Lord, thank you for looking on us in love. Thank you for your cross, for taking all of our sins and taking them away off of us so that we can be yours. Brand new, cleanse us. Help us to follow you by faith and to live in your love and in your joy and in your peace, no matter what the world may throw at us. Because you have overcome the world and your love is better than life. Thank you, Lord, for the life that only you can give. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.